Okay, after Perek Yudalit, let's start with Pasuk Yudalit. We'll go back one Pasuk. Perek Yudalit, Pasuk Yudalit. We are now discussing Tchiyas HaMeisim. Eiv is complaining or is wondering, maybe I can solve the mystery of why I suffer through realizing through the possibility that there's Tchiyas HaMeisim. And there is going to be a whole new life for me in the future, and everything that's happening now is the preparation for that. But he quickly comes to the conclusion that that's impossible. There's no such thing as Tchiyas HaMeisim, and he even tries to prove it. He looks at the Bria, looks at other things, but basically he says that cannot possibly be, can be true. And here, as we learned yesterday, we read one pasuk again, pasuk Yudalid, Perek Yudalid, pasuk Yudalid. Im Yamus Gever Hayichyeh. Can it really be that if man dies, can it really be Hayichyeh that he'll come back to life? Impossible. It cannot possibly be. If that would be true, and then he acknowledges, if that would be true, that man can come back in the future, then. I'm sorry. And therefore, since it cannot be that men will come back again, there is no such thing as Tchiyas HaMeisim. Therefore, kol yimei tzivoi, all the days of my time, as we learned last week, the word tzivo, in according at least according to the Metzudas, means zman, all the days of my lifetime, I yachel, I yearn, I cherish, I savor. Every moment of life is extremely important to me because when time passes, I'll never come back. It's a one chance, once in a lifetime opportunity, literally. I achel, I yearn to enjoy life. I bow until comes the time, chalifasi, until we learn according to the mitzvot, until the time of my passing, until the time of my death. When I die, there is nothing. There is nothing more to. It's all over. Now that's the way the Mitzudos learns the pasuk. That's how we learn it. Let me read you the pasuk according to Rashi, and this is according to the Malbim, which ties very nicely into the next psukim. Im Yamus Gever Hayichyeh. According to the following interpretation, he is entertaining the possibility that indeed there will be Tchiyas HaMeisim. Yes, Im Yamus Gever. If man will die, Hayichyeh. Can it be that he'll live? That there will be Tchiyas HaMeisim? If that would be true, then kol yimei tzivoi, all the days of my time. Now here means the time of my death. During this period of time, when I lie in the grave, ayachel, I will wait eagerly ad bo chalifasi, until the time arrives for my exchange, meaning my return. Now we'll lead right into Pasuk Tesvav, and at that point in time, Tikra, when the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim arrives, you Hashem will call out to me from Shemayim, and you will say, rise up, come back to life. V'anochi e'enecha, and I will answer your call by coming back to life. This is where the Malbim interprets the pasuk. It's a very beautiful interpretation. When Tchiyas HaMeisim, I'm going to die, I'm going to lie in the grave, I'm going to wait eagerly for that moment of Tchiyas HaMeisim. At that moment in time, you will call out, arise, I will respond by coming back to life. And l'masse yodecha tichsof, and this appears seemingly is just a summary, or it's a new expression which does not flow very well into the beginning of the pasuk, but just basically means you yearn, Hashem, you yearn for that moment in time when you will make that declaration and demand that all of the dead return to life. Because you, Hashem, yearn for tichsof, you yearn for the work of your hand to return to this world and be productive. Now that's a very nice term. This is the interpretation of the Malbim. It's not what Rashi or the Mitzudas says. Well, Rashi maybe, but not the Mitzudas. Let's take a look how the Mitzudas learns this pasuk tesvav. According to the Mitzudas, this is an independent thought, an independent statement which seemingly has nothing to do with pasuk yudalit. Pasuk Tezvav, let's see, inside Tikra, Mi Yitain, Eov says, if only it could be, Asher Tikra Lemor Madua Tiasreini. You, Hashem, will speak up. One of the themes which reappears over and over in at least the part of Eva we learned so far is where Eov says, it's Hashem, you don't speak, you don't talk. I don't hear from you. If only we can have a debate. If only we can go to a bezdin. At one point, he actually said that we can go to a court where there can be a judge that can serve in mishpat over us. But in the meantime, Hashem, at least speak to me, call out, and explain to me why things are happening. Tikra, mi yitain. If only it would be possible for you, Hashem, to actually speak and tell me why I suffer, then I would respond with my side of the story, with my argument that I have done nothing wrong, I am absolutely certain I'm clean of sin, and I don't deserve this suffering. Mi yitain, if only it could be Asher Tikra, Lema, you, Hashem, will call out and speak to me, telling me, Madua Tiasreini, why you bring upon me suffering, V'yonoch Yoshev, Lehisvakeach Imach, and then I will gladly respond and argue with you, present my side of the story. Because Hein Yodati, because I know Hashem, as Yiv said in the previous prayer, that Eve is in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hein Yodati, I'm well aware, ki tachmoid oso, that you, Hashem, have a desire, oso, meaning for a man, for a human being, hoyol vani ma'asi yodecha, because I am the creation of your labor, v'lama imkein timas im be im etze zakai, and why would it be so hard for you? Would you find it detestable if indeed I would be declared innocent? In other words, what's the problem, Hashem? Just speak up. Tell me what I have done wrong. I will respond, and you, Hashem, will take pleasure if I win the debate. Okay, we do have references to this in Chazal, where I don't remember the exact Gemara. Excellent. Where is that Gemara? Yitzchuni ben Ibn Yitzchuni, where there is a debate between. Okay, there are different Mamari Chazal. Tanu Shel Achonai, right? Tohar Tamei. Even if the Shemayim say that it's Tamei, it doesn't matter. Tohar Lava Shemayim. What is Hashem doing? Hashem is laughing. Yitzchuni Bonai, Yitzchuni. Hashem is saying. Yeah.
He's going back to the Makar of Eve. Yeah. That's what Hashem did think that Eve was. He told it a sudden.
Yeah.
See how great Eve is? He's good. The son is the one who put the fire. He said, let me make his life miserable. Let me show you that he's not. And then he's saying back to Hashem is, let's talk, you know,
right, speak.
Part of the bottom.
This is the theme which reappears over. We had this at least five times. So Eve is demanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's not fair, that he does not have opportunity to debate Hashem. Besides being innocent, but that's another issue. He wants an opportunity to debate HaKadosh Baruch Hu personally, to direct confrontation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here he's just like in prison. There was no trial, there was no judgment. He's suffering, and he has no one to argue with. Let me at least come and present myself before you. Let you present your arguments, I'll present my arguments, and we'll have a debate. And you know what? If I'll win, I know that you'll be happy. How do I know that you'll be happy? Because after all, I am the product of your labor. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have simcha that his own product, that his own creature is successful. It's not a loss to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I should win. This is an advantage to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I should win, because it just goes to show that the chokhmah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own creation is extremely great. This is the way Rashi learns. It's an independent statement that has nothing to do with Tchiyas HaNesim, Tikra, call out Hashem, meaning you have to add, according to the Mitzvah, many words of interpretation. Call out and explain, speak up. Speak up and explain to me what I have done wrong. V'anochi e'neka, I will respond, I'm telling you why I'm innocent. And if I will, now you have to add more words into the pasuk. And if I will prevail, and if in this judgment, and in this case, in this debate, I prevail, you will be pleased. Why? Why will you be pleased, Hashem? Because lemaaseh yodecha tichseh, because you yearn for the success of the product of your hands. So there's a lot of extra words being added into the pasuk according to the perish of the Mitzudos. Now let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi Tesvav, ki ata, Pasik Tavzatos Tazvav Tikra Tichinahi. Seemingly Rashi is saying the same thing. Tachina, this is a supplication. Kira Eli, call out to me, meaning speak to me. Kira Eli, speak to me. Tell me what I have done wrong. V'anochi e'ne'ka. And I will respond. L'hoichiach divarai, to prove my side of the story, to present my side, my case, my argument. And if I will tichsoif tachmoid, Rashi doesn't really elaborate, but if we learn like the Mitzudos, that's seemingly saying the same exact thing, is you're not going to be upset. What are you afraid of? You're afraid you're going to lose? You're not going to be, you don't mind losing. Adarabba, nitzchuni bonai nitzchuni, you'll be very happy to lose. Because tachmoid, you have a sincere desire, you yearn, l'mas yodecha tichsof, you yearn for the success of your man. Tichsof here means, like, it is a very common Chassidish Svarim, kesef, it's kesef and zaf. Kesef always refers to love. Kesef is kisufin. Kisufin means yearning. Rashi even quoted that a few psukim ago. I have desire. So here you see mamish in the pasuk tichsayf kesef, silver in olam of machshava refers to midas harachamim, yearning, desire to come close. Zahav in the olam, in the machshava, el machshava refers to dinim, harshness. Okay, now we go to pasuk tes zayin. Pasuk tes zayin says ki ata tzadai tispar lo sishmar al chatosi. Now, seemingly according to everyone, according to Eev is saying that unfortunately, things are not going the way I planned. You are not in agreement with me to debate me over my situation, but instead you're out to get me. Basically, Pasuk Tezayin says, Hashem, you're out to get me. How are you out to get me? You guard Atah now, which in this context, seemingly from the Rashi and the Mitzudos, Atah is synonymous with Atah, with an Aleph. With an Ayin, it means now. But it's almost as if you have to add a word into the Pasuk, Atah, Atah. Now you, tse'odai tispar. Could be it's a complex use of the Pasuk where we use the word Atah and it really means both. Now you, tse'odai, my steps tispar, you count, lo sishmar al chatosi, you don't even wait until I commit a sin to punish me. You already punish me before I sin. Which basically, whatever that means, it means that you're out to get me. You're out to get me, or maybe it means that since you know the future, in the future I will sin, so you collect in advance. Hashem knows what will happen in the future, you know that I will sin in the future, so therefore you punish me now in advance. And that is just plain simply not fair in the opinion of Eof. Let's see how the...
I think he has leverage here.
Over HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Yeah.
Well, he explained in the previous parakim that... That's the way you've created me. What more do you expect? Eve has this belief that if this is the way you've created me, you have to play with my rules. That's the difference between Avram and Eve.
Challenge and expect.
Eve says, if you created me, this really is the fundamental difference between Avraham and Eve. Eve feels that if you have... Man is limited, obviously. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. Man is a teeny, teeny speck of dust. He's a nothing. Mentally, he's nothing. But if this is what you have created, then you, Hashem, we have to play the game. You have to limit your hanhaga with your creature according to the limitations of your creatures. If human being could only understand that much, so he's only responsible for that much. If in the mind of man, I have not done anything, so I have not done anything. You have no right to punish me. It's not fair to operate, to conduct this world with a set of rules that only apply to you and do not apply to your creature. Avraham was not like that. Avraham sacrificed his mind to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's your world. It's your rules. It's your game. I'm a nobody. I am limited. Doesn't matter. I'll follow your rules and I'll sacrifice my mind before your hanhaga. That's really what it's all about. Okay, let's take a look over here at the words of this pasuk from Tavadik Tazayin and Mitzudos. Kiata, terem asab emasa hatev shasisi, before I relate the good deeds, before I relate my good deeds shasisi, hine tispar tzadi, you already counting my steps, ledaktek acharai b'chol psiyo psiyo. Now here the Mitzudos adds in an entirely new concept. It's not a new concept, it's an old concept, but he adds this into the pasuk. It's not obvious that this what the pasuk means to say, but it is according to this is something which is the idea of the Mitzudos. Ahine tispar tzadi ledaktik acharai b'chol psiyu psiyu v'loy tamtin mili pora al chatosi, and you don't wait to punish me, rotzoloymar, loy tifra ma'at ma'at ki'im ala kol biyachad. You punish me for everything in one shot. You let my sins accumulate to the point where the punishment is overwhelming. We are familiar. I don't have the sources. You don't punish me little by little. Kiyim ala kol biyachad.
And in advance.
Now this is the difference between how HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with the Umos Olam and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with Klal Yisrael. Okay, I don't have the sources, but this is a well-known concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us little by little. Hashem does not allow the sins to accumulate to the point where we would be overwhelmed with one.
He would add a point here. Should I say, and you pay in advance, you charge.
That's the previous pasuk. And I'm innocent. Okay, I'm innocent also. In addition to all that, You make up, you fabricate things I didn't do, and you punish me in one shot in advance.
And I didn't do anything.
The fabrications. So everything, these are all part of his arguments. But he is presenting this idea of, at least according to the Mitzvot, is that it would be to the advantage of a person if he was indeed guilty for him to be punished little by little. And indeed, this is exactly the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with Klal Yisrael. He does not want us to accumulate sins to the point where when we be punished, we would be overwhelmed and be destroyed. He punishes us little by little. Now, how do you read into the pasuk? The Mitzvot is adding quite a bit to the pasuk. He doesn't really say that. I guess he says we're tispar. Tispar is an unusual expression, you count, meaning there are a lot of little bits, a lot of little different events, little sins, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is counting. Ki atot se'odai tispar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every step. Every step over here is a metaphor for a sin. You count all of the steps, meaning you count all of my sins, and then lo tishmar, you don't guard the sins in a way that would be to my advantage by punishing me for each single step, but rather you collect them all together and you put it upon me in one shot. So tishmar in the coin to them says would have to mean you don't. He says tamtin. Okay, that's what he says. Like tamtin, you don't wait.
Wait until after it happens, I think.
You do it in advance. Let's read the words themselves again.
Not like you were saying, that the measure.
Look what he says. V'loy tamtin mili paral chatosi. You don't wait to punish. What does that mean? So he right away apologizes. The Mitzvot apologizes. Ratzalaymer. Whenever you say Ratzalaymer, it means that it's not to be taken literally. You have to add into the pasuk an elaborate explanation. Ratzalaymer. Loy tifra ma'at ma'at. You don't punish little by little. Ki'im ala kol biyachad. So tishmar would mean to guard in a good way. You don't wait in a good way. Waiting in a good way would mean only to wait a little bit. Normally we associate the word wait with a long time. Right? You wait forever. I'm waiting 50 years for something to happen. Here he's saying you don't wait a minute. It would be to my advantage if you would not wait. Which means to wait just for a moment. You don't do that. But rather you take the big picture, everything together, and you punish. It's not the usual way to translate the pasuk.
I think you might be mixing two different things.
Yeah.
Okay, when you say, on the one hand, you mentioned already punishing sins as they come along, rather than waiting for them to accumulate.
Yeah. That's what he says explicitly. He says that. Look what it says.
But there's also waiting. Waiting is we have a concept that Hashem waits for us to do tshuva.
Okay.
So that's a different concept.
But it doesn't say that here. That's not what it says. Loitamtid mili para al chatosi. You don't wait to punish for my sins. Now, what does that mean? Ratzel loymar.
Because they haven't happened yet, or because the other way is a positive.
Well, that's look what he says.
Accumulating.
I know, but look what he says. Just read the words. I know it's what he's saying is not clear. Ratzel, at least not from my limited. He has over here five words. Velo tamtin milipara al chatosi, and that's the literal translation of the words of the pasuk. The words of the pasuk are lo sishmor al chatosi. You don't wait to punish. He's adding a word into the pasuk. You don't wait to punish for my sins. What does that expression mean? It's hard to understand. Rotzel loymar lo tifra me'at me'at. You don't punish little by little. Ki im ala kol biyachad. So go back to the pasuk when it says
waiting.
Exactly what I told you. So what does it mean? So how then do we translate waiting? It means you don't wait short amounts of time. You make believe that you've waited a long amount of time. I told you it doesn't make sense. I know it's hard. It's hard. That's want to bring out that point. This is how the mitzudos.
That's
another interpretation. That's not what it says. That's a different idea. That's a different interpretation. Lesishmer al chatosi. You don't. Let's not use the word wait. Let's use the word guard. You don't guard my sins in a way that would be to my advantage. You guard my sins in a way that's to my disadvantage. But that's okay. That's not what tamtin means. Tamtin means to wait.
Great, but what does waiting mean in this sense?
Okay, let's go see Rashi. Rashi says something similar. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Tezain kiata ata meireli, you now bring upon me evil. You're not doing things to my advantage. You don't want to debate me, but instead you want you out to get me. Tzadi ata sefer, you count my steps. Lo sishmor, eincha mamtim al chatosi mili para. You don't delay. Rashi is a little bit simpler. Rashi is saying that you have no rachmanis on me. That you punish me without giving me seemingly the opportunity to do tshuva. Maybe that's what really Rashi means. You don't wait. Hashem, wait. What's the rush to punish me? Give me time. Give me the opportunity to do tshuva. Maybe I'll come Yom Kippur, I'll be inspired, I'll do tshuva, and then I won't have to be punished. Hashem, I don't want to give you that opportunity. I want to get you now.
But that's a different
concept, exactly. Rashi almost never says like the Mitzvot and Iyov. Eincha mamtim al chatosi milihi para. You don't wait. You are eager to punish me immediately. Kimo, like it's where do we find the word tishmar to be translated as waiting? So same thing as the Mesudas, but he quotes was the Aviv Shomar es Hadavar. Yaakov Avinu, he watched, he heard the dream. Yosef presented his dreams, and Yaakov Avinu rebuked Yosef, but his father realized that there was something true about the dreams, and he anticipated Mosayavai. Hamtaim, he waited, Shetiskayim, period. And he gives an example from the Mishnah of Loshna Mishnah, Lo Yoyma Adam Lachavir, a person may not say to his friend, meet me by the church. You're not allowed to use Avodah Zarah as a point of reference. Shemor li,
a specific
church. Shemor li, wait for me. Shemor here in this context means wait. Wait for me, b'tzad avodas kachav employness loshen hamtein. Okay, pasuk yud zayin, same idea. Chosum b'tzor peshi, Eve continues his complaint, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're out to get me. It's as if you've taken my sins and you've sealed them in a package. And a tsar means a bag and some type of container. That titpol al avoni. Now that's a difficult expression. Let's see what the Mitzudos says. We have two interpretations. Let's see Pasuk Yitzayin in the Mitzudos. Chasum v'im kol zeh sugurim pishrei b'kesher me'ula. My sins are tied up. They're locked up in a permanent knot. Lo yinuke ma mehem al idei hayisurim asher cholfu v'arulai. Again, a whole new concept. Holds adding in a whole parish pasuk that doesn't say, even with all my suffering. So you think at least, so I suffered. So I've paid. I've done my time. I've served my sentence. No, it doesn't make a difference. all of my suffering has not reduced my sentence, my verdict, even a mashu. Im kol ze, with all of the suffering, it doesn't matter. Sagurim pishi bekesher meulav lo yinuke mehem ma mehem alidei hayesuma shulchofu vavolai. My suffering does not count, is not a credit to my account, and I am still considered in your eyes as a great sinner. That titpol. And what does this very difficult word mean according to the Mitzudos? In Tzusim it says, utechaber. This, I don't know if I'm reading that correctly. Utechaber means it's joined. In addition to my sins being sealed. It's being tafel, right? It's tafel, right? Tafel, it's joined. The oy techaber al avoini devar avon asher ein roi le'anosh olaf. Another new concept. You've also joined to the sins, any imaginary sin that I may have committed, you've also joined to it more sins that I did not commit. Ki sarisheni, now what are those sins? This goes back to what we learned last week. Ki torisheni avoinois ne'urai. Okay, he's referring to what he said in the beginning of the parak, that you are obviously, you're holding me accountable for the sins I have committed when I was young. When a person is young and foolish, he does not know what he's doing, he does averos, he is not yet mature enough to realize that what he's doing is wrong. And then when he gets older, so we assume that we're not held responsible for those sins. Obviously, you, Hashem, are holding me accountable for the petty sins I've committed when I was young, when I did not yet have the intelligence to realize that I should not be doing these things. But now he's going back to what we started with today, Pasik Tezvav. But if Hashem, you'll give me a fair trial, you'll let me speak up, you will allow me to debate with you this issue, you will certainly become aware, I will prove that I am correct, and you'll be pleased that I will overcome you. I'm aware you will yearn to have rachmanis upon me. So according to the Mitzudos, Pasuk Gitzayin is saying two different very powerful concepts. Chosum bitzor peshi, concept that after all of my suffering, after all the suffering, my account has not been credited one iota. I'm still just as guilty as I was before we started.
Fate is sealed.
It's inside. Okay, fine. Vatitbol alavoni, and he's going and saying, in addition, you're adding to the sins I may have, the imaginary sins that I may have committed in my adult years. You're going to add on top of that. You're going to punish me for the imaginary sins, for the sins I have committed when I was a child. Now, Rashi says something very similar. Pasuk Gitzayin chosum b'tzuar, chosum umeshumar b'tzuar beged. It's sealed and guarded in a package of cloth. Kekesef umargolios shaloi toivad, just like a person puts silver and pearls inside of a package that it should not get lost. In a purse. It's fine. Titful alavoni nischabarta alavoni. It has been joined to my sins. So by the way, an avoin, a pesha, is a sin that was done by chet pesha v'avoin. So chet is accidental. Pesha is done b'nezid, correct? And avoin is done with l'hachas, with rebellion. So v'titful alavoni. So the peshoyim have been added to my, according to Rashi, to the avoin, to the sins that I have committed in rebellion. I told you,
so he's admitting that he did sin.
No, he's saying even according to your Kodesh Baruch Hu, that this is what it appears from my perspective. The way you're punishing me, it appears that you
got the wrong guy. You got the wrong account. Right. You got the wrong counter. You got a counter full of avarice
Okay, I believe the Mitzudos are the Malbim. If not the Malbim, I don't have the Malbim in front of me. Other Rishonim learned that Titpol does not mean Tofel, like both the Mitzudos and Rashi explained, to be joined, but it means Tit,
right?
Clay. Clay. So then it means that not only are my sins sealed in a kesher shel kayama, it's also there's a seal of clay that has been affixed to the kesher. In ancient times, if you want to make sure no one tampers with a container, they would apply a seal shel tit. Because if you have just a bag, you can make a knot, so I can take out the knot. I can open up the knot, take out the product, exchange it with a fraud, with something, and then tie it back up. But if you apply on the knot a chosam shel tit, and you affix a specific image in this seal of clay, and you let it dry and turn hard, then if someone's going to take off the seal, it's obvious that it's been tampered with. So Hashem, you have affixed a seal of clay to my tzror of sins, which has been taught with the Keshel Kayama, and no one is able to tamper with it. I do not have the option of doing tshuva, and no one in this world has the ability to come and serve as an advocate to attempt to remove the sins, because you've sealed it. It's tamper-proof. Homeland Security.
Malcolm, yeah. He says, take my avarice and seal him, please, so that no one will see my avarice. You lock it up and seal it in tit.
Yeah.
That loisa galapishi, and you should cover it with tit.
Has a pakasha, okay. So hold them to interpretation. So I was saying was where Rabbi Schwab. Rabbi Schwab does all the time. He takes bits and pieces. It's very cute what Rabbi Schwab does. He looks at all the mafarshim and he takes different things that he likes, and he combines them to make a parish. So he basically took the Malbim's translation for the word Vatitbo, and he followed the approach of Rashi and the Mitzudos, and he said, Chosum Bitzur Pishi, Vatitbo Alavoini, and it has been sealed in clay together with my Avoinis.
I saw yesterday someone on Yom HaShoah wrote an article, Eifo Haya Elohim. Where was God?
Okay.
And someone answered, Eifo lo haya Elohim. Where wasn't
it? It's always a different way to look at the story.
The same, you know.
You take something, you twist it both ways. Okay, so according to the Rambam, he's saying that he's a bakosha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hide my sins, they should disappear. They should disappear, they should be hidden. Okay, so that is, let's go further. Now we go to the next pasuk, v'ulam harnof. Now here again, pasuk yitches is the difference of interpretation between the Mitzudos and Rashi, v'ulam. The ulam har noifel yibol. Now according to the mitzudos, he's continuing his discussion of tchias hameisim, and he's stating, again, according to the mitzudos and Rashi are complete opposites. Eov is saying, I'll prove now that there's no such thing as tchias hameisim. I'll prove from the bria. Before he was trying to say that from the trees. Trees do have tchias hameisim. If you want to look at the breed, you want to find the concept of tchias hameisim, a tree is a good example to start with. But now, on the other end, he's saying, but man is worse, because man does not come back to life. And in fact, man is like, good morning, oh, you know, Rabbi Perlman, Yosef Chaim Perlman, you spoke with him? No, he's trying to reach you. He said to someone in the shul that was nifter, and they need you. So he tried to reach you. He said your phone wasn't working. The ulam har noifel yibol. A har noifel yibol v'tzur yetak mimukama. So now he's coming to analyze the world and take note. And look at the world. There really is no such thing as tchias hameisim. Because if a mountain, let's say there is an earthquake and a mountain collapses, does the mountain ever is it ever restored? Does the mountain? Of course not. What happens to the mountain? Yibol, it withers, it turns into dust and disappears. Vitzur, if a rock is yetak mimukoymoy, does it ever return to its location? Of course not. So man is also similar to a mountain, similar to a rock. Once they've been dislodged, they die and decay, they will never return to their place. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos. The ulam, the emes, the truth is, kemo har hanoifel asher nase bola, just like a mountain which falls down, which becomes worn out, umufsat, kilo yosef lokum, does not, it's not restored, uchemoi hatsur, a rock asher yetak mimekamo, that it's uprooted from its place, mimokam giduloi, hine lo yoshuv litzmoyach me'ato kasher me'oz. It will never return to the place that it came from. That is what man is comparable to. There is no thing as tchias ha'meisim. Let's read the next pasuk. We'll come back to the Rashi in a few moments, because Rashi does everything go around. Avonim shachakumayim, another example. Stones are withered away, are chiseled away into dust by water. When water continuously runs against, with force, into even the hardest thing in this world is stone. But yet, and water is the soft, one of the softest things in this world. Yet water has the power to destroy stone. When water rubs against the stone with force, it causes the stone to dissolve. Avonim, it causes the stones to erode, and the stones don't come back. They never return. Likewise, man, he dies, he does not come back. So we'll get to the medrash in a few moments. Tishtoif, right, we'll get to the medrash. Let's go to the first pshat in the pasuk. Tishtoif sifichech afar aretz. According to the mitzvot, tishtoif means to flow. To flow with force. Sifichech are the young shoots. If there is a flash flood, and water comes down a valley, the sifichecha are quickly uprooted, and they turn into afar haaretz, the dust of the earth, and they never return. The tikvas enosh he'evodeta. And according to the Mitzvah Shalom Aleichem, the hope of man is destroyed, meaning man is no different. Man is no different. Man is, the hope of man is likewise doomed. Let's take a look at the Mitzvah Stavu Pasuk Yutes. Avonim Uchimo, man is no different than Avonim, Asher Hamayim Shechakim Mamehem, the water dissolves some of it, Kasher Yavor Aleim Bitmidus, when water passes continuously upon the stone, Hine Hama'at HaNishchok, the small amount of stone that has been pulverized, that has been ground into dust, Lo Sosho Limukoimoi. Furthermore, another example, Tishtaif Sifichecha Uchmoi HaSifichim Shel Afar, it's just like the offshoots, the saplings of the earth of the land, Asher Hema Mimal, Hine, which exist above the surface of the earth, Hine Bevos Shetef Mayim, when a flash flood comes and flows over these shoots, Halei Bekal, easily, Tishtoif Oysam, they're uprooted, they're flooded, V'lo Yuchzeru L'mukayma. Now this is the finale. Now he's given really four examples. I'm sure there's a lot of, I can't find any drush, but there must be some very powerful drush. He's giving over here four examples, and man is like a har neufel. He's like a tsur yetak, a har, a tsur, avonim, and like the sifichel. Four different substances in this world, which eventually go their way, they're doomed, they're destroyed, and are never to return. And now,
could he be saying that when you give an einish, you're not any better? So even if you give me back later, you still,
it's something new. It's not tchias ha'meisim. It's not going to return the original.
Return to be better. The tzar that I went through will
never return. Never go away. Right. That's what he's saying. Okay. The sitvas enosh. Therefore, this is again the interpretation of the mitzudos. It's very, very, very elaborate. The doim Elohim. Man is similar to the four items that he has presented. Havadita, you have destroyed. Tikvas ha'adam, the hope of man. Kilo yikave lo shuv likadmuso achare hamisa, there's no hope to return to his previous state after death. Man is just like these four things: the mountain, the rock, the stone, and the sifichecha, the four things. Okay, so this is his statement. Now let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi is very different. Rashi is saying just the opposite. Rashi is saying that man is worse than the Bria. In the Bria,
worse off.
In the Bria, even when things are destroyed, at least there is a use for the product of destruction. When a mountain is destroyed, let's say there is an earthquake and a mountain collapses. Okay, so there's no longer a mountain. But now the earth beneath is fertile. the earth where the mountain dissolves and turns into earth, you have a yibel, you have what's produce. Yibel doesn't over here mean wither away. According to Rashi, yibel means produce. It's yivula. It's suitable for farming, for cultivation. When a stone dissolves, the dust is very good. It's fertile. It's good for cultivation. When water flows, and that's all he said. That's how he learned the pasuk. That's the basic gist. We'll see it inside in more detail. And therefore, so it's not so bad in this world when a tragedy strikes, because in the wake of tragedy, there's always a new beginning. There's rebirth. But man, there's no hope. When man dies, it's over. There's nothing. Game over. So this is the interpretation of Rashi, very different than the Mitzudos. And the second major difference is we don't have here four things. We have here only two things. The only thing we have here in the pasuk is the har. When the har is nofel, yibol, there's still hope. There is produce that can come from Yevula, that can come from the dust of the mountain. Now, the next part of the pasuk, according to Rashi, is complex. It runs over into the next pasuk. Vitzur, when a rock is yetak mimikoimo, when a rock is uprooted from its place, and when, and when avonim shochakumayim, and when stone is pulverized by water, Tishdoif sifichecha, sifichecha does not mean, according to Rashi, the young shoots. Sifichecha is a complex word of dust, of the dust of stone. And this sifichecha becomes afararetz, becomes now the new earth of the earth.
It straightens it out.
It's
a field of rocks. If the rocks move out, would it get into dust?
In a flat surface.
It out, and then it grows better.
Or it has mineral content.
So, according
the first part is the mineral content. The second part is it thinks it's straight land. It's easier to plant them.
But the end of the pasuk says, but man is worse than this. Man is worse, but on the other hand, man is worse off. He'evadata, you have destroyed. The hope of man you have destroyed. There's nothing that will come after man has died. Let's take a look at Rashi in the pasuk. Ulam har noifel. Har hanoifel. Gavhoi. When a mountain falls from its height, no problem. Yibol. Wonderful, and now it has a new life. Yibol, it is it's fit for produce, for yivula. The yase afar, it turns into earth. V'tehelo tikva lihanos mimenu, and now there is hope what it can be used from. V'tsur, asher netak mimukamo, a rock that's been uprooted from its place. Gamhu, so according to Rashi, you have to put a comma, gamhu. V'tsur yetak mimukamo, you have to basically, it's a complex pasuk, you have to basically add words into the pasuk. It also has yibol. It also has hope for the future. When a rock is uprooted from its place, it finds a new resting place, and that new resting place now is the beginning of something new. Period. Yibol, he just points at Rashi. Loshon tivua is a form meaning of produce, not like the Mitzudos that says yibol means to wither and to decay. Oh, another example, pasuk yutes, avonim, asher shochakumayim, water, stones that have been ground or by water, ba'ovram aleim tamid. So here is now the unique and the novel interpretation of Rashi. It's tishtoif hishtifu sifichecha shel even. The sifichecha, okay, it's a different translation of the word sifichecha. The dust, I'm translating the word sifichecha in the Rashi, the dust of the stone now flows lehofeich leofar, to turn, to be transformed into earth. V'litzmoyach boidavar, to now be the foundation of something new, to produce something new. Kasha yitzmach, just like...
You can't plant on a rock, but you can plant on a crushed rock.
Exactly. Kasha yitzmach sefiach hakotzir, just like the produce of the kotzir, yitzmach, it blossoms, the sefiach hakotzir, the shoots of the new crop. Sha'ovar kain.
Sha'ovar kain yisafeh.
Sha'apech offer ze sifiche. Kain is sha'avar, kotze sha'avar, kasher yitzmach atzmircha kotze sha'avar. Just like it blossomed the shoots of the previous harvest, kain is sha'apech offer ze sifichecho le'evan, so too will this offer be transformed into sifichecho le'evan, will transform stone into sifichecho. Okay, so maybe I'm making a mistake. The word sifichecho does seem, it simply does seem to say it means shoots, but what he means to say is, let's read the pasuk inside. Avonim shachaku ma'ayim, stones have been pulverized by water. What is the result? Tishtoif sifichecho afar aretz. You have to read it backwards. Through the pulverization of the stone into dust, it turns into afar aretz, and then sifichecho, it will now be, will produce from that dust, it will then begin to produce produce. It will produce shoots of vegetation. But the sikva senosh, on the other hand, einokain, not like the mitzudos. Here is saying man is worse off. Einokain ella mishayamos, when man dies, of the sela, he's gone forever. So it's a very powerful.
But what his accomplishments that he
leaves behind? Okay, Eve is not discussing accomplishment. Eve is not, he's just focusing on life, life and death. Life and death. He's saying over here that man, he over here is coming to deny, at least according to Rashi, he's coming to complain that there is no hope for Tchias HaMesim for man. Man is even, besides the fact that there's no Tchias HaMesim, at least there should be a new beginning. At least something new shall come from it. Like you know, you have a, there's a very, very good commercial on the radio for recycling. If you listen to the radio, Tenten Wins, about, you hear children speaking, and the child says, when I grow up, I want to be a bicycle. Another child says, in very rapid succession, when I grow up, I want to be a park bench. When I grow up, I want to be, you're like, what? Children are speaking, normally you have a child, when I want to be a fireman, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer. When I grow up, and then at the end of the commercial, they say recycle. I don't remember the exact words. They're basically saying they're talking about a piece of plastic or a piece of metal, and they're making believe that this plastic can, a soda can, is talking. When I go, I want to one day be transformed.
Like,
I want to be turned into a bicycle. I want to be turned from a piece of plastic. I want to turn into some type of a park bench. It's very interesting. But it represents, I guess you think, it represents the idea of Tchias HaMesim. And really, that's exactly what it's saying here in this pasuk concerning what, according to Rashi's interpretation. Look, there's a mountain. The mountain's days are numbered. It's on a fault line, right? So eventually there's going to be an earthquake, and this thing's going to collapse, and it's going to be destroyed. Its days are numbered. But at least after the mountain will collapse, the land will now be flat and fertile, and we'll be able to cultivate, we'll be able to have a new life, there'll be some type of triasa, there'll be some product that will result from the death of the mountain. And same thing for the stones. But man, when man is gone, what can man possibly say? That when I want to grow up, I want to be something. When you grow up, you're gone. There's nothing to be. It's over. It's curtains. And that is, according to Rashi, the frustration that Eev is expressing here in this pasuk. Okay, but now we go to the pasuk. Now before we go further, of course, now this is a very, very famous pasuk. I'll read you the Avos of the Rabbein. There are many versions of this, but I'll read you at least one version of Avos to Rabbeinu Nasan. Mehoya tchilasa shel Rabbi Akiva. What was the beginning of Rabbi Akiva? Amru ben Arboim shana hoya. He was 40 years old. Velo shana klum. He did not know the aleph beis. 40 years old, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the father of Torah Sheval Peh. It was him who Moshe Rabbeinu saw al piruach hakodesh when he went to Shemayim, that there will be a person that will be dorish the tagim of the oisios of the aleph beis. And Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand. Moshe Rabbeinu, the noisina Torah, Torah Moshe, was unable to comprehend the shiurim of Rabbi Akiva. He is the father of Torah Sheval Peh. And Rabbi Akiva, who was 40 years old, didn't know the aleph beis. V'lo hoya v'lo shana klum pamachas hoya oimid al pi ha-be'er. He was sitting by a well, And he saw that the stone was chiseled. He saw that there was a cavity in the stone. Omar Michokak Evan Zoh, who was the one who chiseled this opening in the stone? Omrulo, the people there said to him, Hamayim, water. There's been water that's been flowing, that's been banging against the stone for thousands of years, hundreds of years, whatever it was. Hamayim Shetadir Noifl Molecha Bukhol Yoim. Omrulo Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Kiva, they said to Rabbi Kiva, don't you know the pasuk in Iyov? Avonim shachakumayim. It's a pasuk that stones can be pulverized by water. Miyod hoyer Rabbi Akiva don kal v'chomer biatzmo v'omar umorach. Madoch, something that is soft, which refers to mayim, posal esakosha, has the power to penetrate something hard, divrei Torah. So Torah, which is the hardest, is sharp, shekoshin kabarzel, which is hard like iron, al achas kama v'kama sheyichakeku es libi, can penetrate my heart, which is soft, shubasar v'dam, which is soft like meat, which is basar v'dam, miyod. That was the beginning, Chazar Lilmoy Torah. So the roots of Rabbi Akiva is the pasuk we learned today. Avonim shachakumayim tishtoif sifichecha afar oretz v'sikvas enosh he'avodotah. But now, so you learn this Chazal, very nice, you learn the Chazal. But now that you know Iyov, it has a much deeper meaning. Because this pasuk is the makar, is one of the psukim which defines for us Tchias HaNesim. It's a pasuk.
It also looks like the pshat is more like Rashi than like the Mitzudas. Because
Even Avonim have Tchias HaMesim.
Right.
So Al Achas Kama V'Kama, a human being has Tchias HaMesim. We have a much deeper, much more profound understanding of this Chazal. We've heard this Chazal probably 100 times. Rabbi Akiva started off with his Maisa he saw. But you learn the Pasuk, you learn Rashi. What's the context of the Pasuk? The context of the Pasuk is this Tchias HaMesim, even for a stone. Even for a stone, there's Tchias HaMesim. Alachas kam v'kama, there can be Tchias HaMesim for a human being. Human being, which is the Yetzir Kab Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Medaber, on a much more sophisticated, much more spiritual creature, certainly there's Tchias HaMesim. And certainly when a person finds himself in the matzav where he's not where he should be, he can certainly come back to life, he can turn around his whole life and become a different person. If a stone has a darug of Tchias HaMesim, has a new beginning, can be recycled, and it can produce something new. Certainly a person can produce.
Exact opposite of Eov's conclusion.
Exactly, because everything Eov says is because he's lacking
that principle.
But the principle is true. That's what's so brilliant about Sefer Eov. He's asking all these questions, and the answer to the question is exactly the point. The answer to the question is the question itself. Like the classic thing that Eov always says is, "What do you take seriously? A human being? He's a nothing. He's a speck of dust. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're infinite. You created the galaxies, the world, the universe, and this earth, and this land. There's a man. A man is a nothing. You take so seriously if a man sins against you? What are you so upset about, Hashem?" And the answer, that's exactly the point. I do take it very seriously. I take very seriously, that's the greatness of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he takes to heart what a human being does. Everything question that Eov presents is exactly the answer. Is exactly what we have to learn. That's exactly the point.
So maybe that's the point that Eov was before about the Torah, that he had no
concept. Yeah, that's absolutely true. Every you have to come on to some thought like that, no matter what. Even after modern Torah, but he wasn't Jewish because he's not. He's presenting principles which we know to be as we accept as a given. And that's exactly the point. We want to hear these words from someone from the outside. It awakens that you always find Bali Tshuva and Gerim. They ask questions. They ask the person who's from birth, person who's 70 years old. They ask you a question. Hey, why did I think of that? It's a good question. I don't know the answer. The answer is because since he's on the outside, he has a different perspective. He was on the outside. The questions he asks that he presents awakens within us something which we, from our perspective, are unable to do. We need to hear it from someone else. Okay, now let's try to finish up. Now he goes on to say, tiskepeyu lonetzach. Now tiskepeyu is a hard word. You overpower him. This we'll learn this now. Go back to the parish of the Mitzudos. According to the Mitzudos, Eov is coming to deny Tchias HaMesim. He's saying, Hashem, man, according to the Mitzudos, just like the mountain, there's no Tchias HaMesim, and the stone, the four examples that according to the Mitzudos is given, so too man is doomed. Not only is he doomed, he's doomed lo netzach. You, Hashem, overpower man, you take his life from him, and you crush him, and you finish him off for eternity. Tiskepeyu, you overpower him. Lonetzach, forever, you attack him. Okay, you take hold of him. You take hold of him forever. Vayahaloch, and he disappears. Man, he goes on his way. His body, his neshama disappears. It's gone. Mishane fonov, you transform his face. It means you transform his existence, fatish alcheu, and you send them off on his way. It's another way of describing the same part of the first pasuk. You basically finish off man. Let's take a look at pasuk chaf in the Mitzudos. Pasuk chaf tiskepeyu ha'evdoin, the destruction toichas oso takes hold of man bechozek rav with an intensity beachiza hamiskayemes with such an intensity that it lasts forever ad netzach vaharehu hoilech ochuzba man goes on his way overcome in this defeat. The ain ozer lo, and is no one to assist man. Mishane panav, v'hu mishane panav. You are Kodesh Baruch Hu. You transform a person's existence, his presence. Panav here means the man has presence on this world as long as he is alive. When his time comes, Hashem transforms his presence. Hashem takes away his presence. Vatishlach oisoy shiloach oilamis, an internal sending away. V'lo yoshavot, he will never return. Rashi. Pasik Chof says it's come out the same thing. Tiskepeyu tachzoik mimenu, tachzoik mimenu vata'anseyu b'tofkecha, your power. You overpower him. Vayahalich min oilam, and he ceased to exist. Now comes something too interesting. Two more people try to finish off. This is a very interesting pasuk. Pasuk Chof Aleph. New idea, a new thing Eov says, and this was very interesting because Eov didn't have children at this point in time. So why would Eov be saying such a thing? Eov's children all died. He had how many children do you have? I forgot again. He had 10 children, 7 boys and 3 girls, at least at this point in time. And they all died. And he says, now he's discussing mankind, and he says, when man dies, let's say his children are successful. His children have they become Talmidei Chachamim, or they become very wealthy, they become very prominent, they do great chesed, and the world gives their children honor. Yichbidu vanav v'lo yeda. The dead have no nachas from their children. So we can basically know that everything that Eov says is just the opposite. That's really the message.
I have grandchildren.
What? Is that possible? Interesting idea. We don't know.
Exactly.
We don't know. Could very well be.
When he's dead, it doesn't make a difference.
So he's saying, if a person's children would have kavoids, if they would receive honor in this world for their accomplishments, what does man have from it? He's dead. He's in the grave. He's unaware. Furthermore, the yitzaru, people always wonder, when a Rachman looks on a person as a tzara, so they go to the kvarim of their parents, grandparents, ancestors. Do they know from now? The Gemara asked the question. Shmuel, there's a rise of the Sech the Brachas, where the children, Shmuel's children, they had tsaris. And what was their tsar? They forgot their learning. They knew Kol HaTorah Kula originally, and then they had tsaris, and they were not able to learn, and they forgot. They weren't quick on their feet. So it's the Mashaila. What daf is this? They gave them the pin test. They couldn't pass the pin test anymore. That was an incredible tsar for them. That was the tsar, not whatever else was going on in this world. And they asked each other, does our father know about our tsar? Does he know what's going on in this world? So it says here, the yitzaru, when the children have tsar, the lo yovin lomo, the dead, have no idea that the children are going through a time of difficulty. If they knew, maybe they can pray for them, they can do something for them. So again, if he says that this, they don't know, obviously this seems to be a very strong riot that they do know. They do know that a parent does know about the success and failures of his children. Pasuk Chaf Aleph in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Chaf Aleph.
They asked when somebody was a rebbe was on his deathbed. They asked him to intercede for the town, and so he said okay. And when he was lifted, so nothing changed. Everything in day. So he came to him in a dream.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, some of the stories. Came to him in a dream, and he says, "I thought you were going to be a melech yoshev for us and tell it." He says, "You know, I understand what you're saying. The problem is not the problem is, but." When I see things now that I'm
different perspective,
right? I see things totally differently. What you think is a problem is not. I happen to know that it's not a problem that's worth talking about. To you, it's a big
it's hard to swallow the story.
I mean, there's a lot of things out there, and you know, I have a different perspective now.
Yeah.
So I know it's not a big story.
Brother Gemara in Brachos, they went to the cemetery and they heard them speaking. You know. There's going to be the price of tomatoes is going up again.
Yeah.
Okay.
It helped them.
But let's see the Mitzudos, and then we'll stop because I want to do the next pasuk in more detail. Let's see pasuk of Aleph. In the Mitzudos, Yichmedu Hain in Bonav Yumichubadim, if the children will be distinguished, will be honored. Lo Yeda Mizeve Hain, and furthermore, Im Yimatu Bechavot, if they are, see, it's very, very refined way of describing Bezionos. The children have a lot, they have Bezionos, so Yimatu Bechavot, such a refined expression. They have a miyot. A minute of not talking about them and vazing them and they're cursing them out. Yimatu b'chavayit lo yovin es zos. Rashi yichvedu yu kivedim b'kesef uvazav v'hu lo yeda. Rashi, that is very strange. Rashi normally is very into homiletic interpretations. Here is very simple. If they're wealthy, yichvedu banef, the children are heavy.
If the other way, you should have said yichavedu.
Yichbidu. Mitzudas is clear kavod. It's right. Honor. Right. Rashi says they're way down. Right. They're way down with money. They're very wealthy. Yichbidu, you kivedim bekesef uvezav v'hu lo yoda. So maybe it's not a good thing. they're way down. They have too much money.
Kavod is something that is good for the person.
No, Rashi doesn't say kavod. Rashi says kivedim. Rashi, they're kivedim. They're way down.
If they have a lot of money. Then it's
everyone has respect. Money talks.
Kavod is a relative thing. It depends on the person.
No,
money talks.
The aru the imatu be kol toiv. Let's say a person is the child of matzav yadam imatu be kol toiv v'chu lo yavin. The father is unaware. Okay, we'll leave the next pasuk because he summarizes this whole perek, the whole speech. So we'll leave the last pasuk Emir Tashem for tomorrow.